or a question of any of the testimony? Yes, sir. Please state your name for the record.
Okay. Left hand on the Bible, raise your right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give, or testimony you're saying you're about to give is truth, all truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, I do.
Spell McQuillan.
The only thing I want to say is that these two gentlemen have.
Which two gentlemen are you referring to?
The owners of the establishment that went to Red Space from.
Okay, gotcha.
They have spent a lot of money, a lot of time, and they've done a beautiful job renovating inside. And it's a shame that the people who are complaining against them don't want them to open up their store. And it's really a competitive thing. And I don't want to go into detail, but I have a telephone call from
them. Well, you can't, you cannot. And, you know, they have raised their concerns.
Why don't you put it on the record that you're the landlord?
My family owns the property building.
Okay.
And I just think it's a shame that it finishes up a lot of garbage and it's going to be a clean operation. And if it means anything to this board, we have the largest marina down the road. We have more than ample garbage availability. If it was necessary and it ordered, someone in the health department thought it was, could transport that down daily to our dumpsters.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else in the public? If not, the public portion is now closed.
Well, again, the issue to the board is your zoning officer issued the zoning permit based upon, and I think I should mark into this, Mr.
Lineback,
thank you. Referenced also the email from the zoning officer just explaining that's going to be B2. Not to be confused with that B2B we just had. Yeah, 2015. Again, she's given indicated that really? The property is in the B1 business zone. The Italian night shop is a permitted use in the zone. Sorry about that. That the property itself was originally issued site plan approval with variances back in '86 for the retail and residential use. At some point, a portion of the property or one of the retail portions was used for the yoga shop, which was a class 4, a more intensive and higher parking requirement. And it's back to the class 2. So board just has to decide whether you think that requires the applicant to come to the board for site plan review. If I did that in a nutshell properly. And I don't want to take away from his argument. He also indicated that he believes that under the recycling section of your ordinance that it would require a variance because they have not proposed any recycling.
Discussion?
Well, as I said before, this board decided that was a year or 2 years ago that there was a change of retail use and the applicant wasn't, or the tenant wasn't required to come before us for the site plan review.
But it was never changed in the zoning ordinance. That's the reason this is.
It wasn't changed.
Yeah, but that was definitely part of our master plan discussions.
It's just a question of the classes, I guess.
Yeah, I think this is a lesser class. It doesn't, when you go to a lesser class, it shouldn't require what do they call it?
Site plan approval.
No, not site plan approval. They already have a site plan approval. The property has a site plan approval that's given. I know it's not.
Yeah, it does, and that's what you could say. I mean, but
all of these uses were allowed in that site plan approval. I just have to say that. I mean, I sat on that committee that night.
I don't believe that the appeal meets the the credibility for us not to to accept Mary's decision as she made it.
I agree.
I'd like to make a motion that
and, and Dave, I just, because I forgot to just mention what Mr. O'Hearn said, I want to get both of their arguments in here. Mr. Lineback has indicated that under 130-3B, D, any change of the class would be part of the site plan. Mr. O'Hearn counters by saying under 133B2B, interior alterations which don't increase the required number of off-street parking spaces are an exemption. He's also arguing that you're not really changing the class because that's what it was approved for initially. So I hope I fairly put everybody's position.
Of course you did.
Except for his variance thing. I'm only kidding. Go ahead, Dave. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying it's a technicality. I don't think it's going to keep any other decision that the change of use is minor enough, in fact, less intense, and I don't think it has any serious impact on the operation of the easement in the backyard, which is something the older tenants have to work out anyway.
So what you're saying is that the proposed use as the Italian ice, which is a permitted use, does not trigger the requirement of a site plan under your ordinance. That's your interpretation.
That's the way I believe it, yes.
You're going to make a motion to deny the appeal as well, right?
Yeah, correct.
So I'd make that motion.
Deny
the appeal.
And I'll second the motion to deny the appeal.
We have a roll call, please.
So a yes means you're denying the appeal, just so you don't get confused. Okay.
Cashmore?
Yes.
Chairman Cunningham?
Yes.
Vice Chairman DeCia?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Duffy?
Yes.
Nice job. And I didn't mean to drag down on it, but it was an interesting argument. It's interesting. It's a good case. I like those.
Can I?
Thank you.
Let me take a 5-minute break before we go to the next application.
There you go. Office is open. I think they probably need sign approval, but that wasn't before you.
I thought they might be doing
that. They actually.
Oh, they're not here on site plan approval. Right. Yeah, exactly. They don't need it now. So. Thank you very much.
John, you're not leaving, are you? John, are you leaving? Oh, good. Okay. I'm like, we're short of word on this.
That's right. Knock it off. Will you? Come on, knock it off. That's right. So I think he was wrong on the variance on the recycle. I don't buy his art. But I do buy his art. But I do buy his argument on changing class. Change of class. It was, but I mean, it's what your ordinance says, you know?
Well, then, you know, we're doing a master plan, then we should rewrite those sentences.
Well, we decided that. I didn't know that we were formally adopted, so maybe that's...
No, you really did. You know, that one was it was the same class, I think. It was class two, the class two, or whatever it was, yeah.
We just try to keep that
going. Yeah, that could well be.
So if it wasn't going to trigger another variance.
Yeah. Listen, it's interesting because they were downgrading, you know, that, I mean, that's... because they were down going from a higher class to a lower class. It is interesting. That's why I was asking him. I really meant that question. if you hadn't approved class two and you went to class four, do you abandon class two? And then if you go back to it, does that trigger the site plan? I really wanted them to hit on it because I think that's what you really, that was the basis of whatever you were going to do.
What did you respond?
It really wasn't
clear.
Yeah. I was trying to get them to.
You wouldn't admit that you didn't have to do a new site.
Well, see, I think he needed to.
Mark, you were the one that suggested we abandon that.
That's what?
The change of use thing.
You could have made that clear.
With the little stores downtown.
Yeah, I actually wrote the ordinance about the exemption.
Right, right. And that was for an increase. It was a one-time increase. So that just means to me that you can't increase again from where they are. It's exactly the intent of that. Oh, it absolutely was. A decrease doesn't require an exemption.
We didn't want to see somebody come back for five and then come back for another five and come back for another five.
That's exactly what, and Michelle, 9 New Street, 13, lot 3.
Alrighty.
Mr. Birdsall, welcome.
Give me one second. That's right. Yes, from all councilmen here, when they're designing a new town hall, to make sure we have adequate space so we can take notes and work. That's right.
We do need to put on the record that Mr. Birdsall is acting councilman.
Yes.
He's acting as a councilman.
Most every day around Seabright, I guarantee it.
That's
doing a fine job, too.
This is an application to add a third floor addition at their rooftop decks with some.
That's not it.
All right.
When you're looking at the Henry Street.
Henry
Place.
No, I'm on the wrong one.
Yeah, it's
9
New Street.
Well, no, this is in the 9 New Street file.
It's 9 New Street.
Hold everything.
Yeah,
five. Yeah, but
yeah, that's on. That's later.
Yeah,
it is on tonight.
Just filed it down.
Lot 13, lot 3, right? So where's the notice? Notice. Is this wrong numbers? He's lot 13. Wait a minute. Okay. 9 New Street. Where's the file? So block 13, lot 3?
Yes.
Well, is this your notice? Is this your notice?
That should be it. Let's take a look real quick.
Just read what you're asking for.
Yes, that's the one.
Okay, so what I just read is seeking approval to add a third floor addition with outdoor rooftop decks.
He was looking at the wrong.
Oh, I thought you told me no.
No, he was looking at
the wrong. You're scaring me. To say it was throwing me off again?
Yeah.
Ay, ay, ay. I'm like.
He said no, and I said no.
Got it. Ricky, we have a problem here. All right.
See, I'm acting.
You're acting. You want to place your left hand on the Bible, raise your right hand. Sean would share the testimony. You're about to give us the truth, all the truth, and nothing but the truth. Okay, so this really is application for 9 New Street, block 13, lot 3. Approval to add a third floor addition with outdoor rooftop decks. Correct?
Correct.
Okay, and there are a number of pre-existing variances, and one is being extended. minimum lot area is required is 1,800. You have 1,427. No way to add onto it on either side. You have to answer it. Yeah. Okay. Lot width is, you're okay. 25, right? Lot depth. 60 is required. 56.84 is existing and proposed. The minimum front yard, you're basically at zero now. It's pre-existing. You're not doing anything else. You're right on the property lines. Okay. Side yard required each is 3. You're at 0.1. Pretty much now, and that's what you're proposing. Both side yards requirement is 6. You're at 0.1. Rear yard is 15 feet. 0.1 is pre-existing. Maximum building height is probably less than 35.
Why did they say they didn't do
it? Because it's extended. Because it's being extended.
Oh, vertical.
Right, vertical. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. So you're at 21.1 and you're going to 37.1. Okay, and building coverage maximum is 50%. You're going to 98, which is pre-existing. You're not changing the footprint at all. You're just going up.
Yes.
And lot coverage, you're at pretty much 100%. And
I double check the height on that.
Okay.
We can get into the seven.
Yep. Mark. Okay. Hold on 1 second. I'm going to mark as, now that I'm sure it's the right one, I'm going to mark as A1, the jurisdictional packet. Okay, you're solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give us the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. And then you want to state your name for the record?
Sure. Mark Teichman. I'm an architect.
Mark with a K or a C?
With a K.
And can you spell Teichman?
Sure can. T-E-I-C-H-A-N.
And you're licensed in the state of?
In the state of New Jersey since 1990. I testified before the court this morning.
Without any objection from the board members, we will accept your credentials. Thank you.
Just to clarify a couple of things, the proposed height is 34 foot 10 inches.
Okay.
To the roof, and then 37 foot 10 inches to the railing.
Well, under our ordinance, what's your height? Under the definition of our ordinance?
My understanding is that it would be 34 foot 10 inches.
Okay.
Proposed, and my understanding since the lowest livable floor is above the base flood elevation, the maximum height should be 38 feet.
That's
the roof.
25 feet. It's in R3. Okay. Might as well mark as A2. The architecturals. Architectural plans by Mark Evan Teichman. Dated 6/17/16. Is it the, right, if it's the same notes, the same pages, you're okay with that, and it's 3 sheets. Okay. So it's 34 feet, 10 inches, whoops, as measured under our ordinance, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Okay, so you're basically, well, I'll let you back, you're basically going to stay in the same footprint. You're going up, but you're adding, what are you adding?
Okay. As you mentioned, the building is basically at the property line on the two sides and in the rear. In the front, it is back 1.3 feet, except for the projecting bay window. What we're proposing to do is the existing house has a low-pitched roof on it,
the peak of the ridge of the roof is about 21 feet. We're going to take the roof off on the entire house and build a flat roof deck in the front portion. That would be at 25 feet above the street. And then we're proposing one-story addition in the rear of the building. Now, what we're proposing to do is keep the face of the building back 3 feet on the west side in the rear. Along the east side, we're going to just align with the current exterior wall. The reason why we're doing that, if you refer to the architectural plans, we're stacking the new stair that's going up over the existing. So since the existing stair is lined up on the east side of the house, we'll just stack over that. And so that whole side is proposed addition, and the bulkhead for the stair is maintaining that. Just to walk through, the existing lowest level is garage. The first floor is two bedrooms, the kitchen, dining area, and what we're proposing on the upper, new upper floor is just a single bedroom, closet, and a bathroom.
Sounds like the entire, you don't have to elevate the house because you're using the entire first floor is garage now currently?
That's correct.
So, garage, your living area is already above the base floor, I bet you.
Garage, the first floor living area is actually on concrete pilings, existing steel beams across the house. So, technically, it is already lifted.
Okay.
Was it lifted? Or?
I'm told it was done in 96, but it's not really lifted in the sense they basically supported it on the concrete pad.
Right, right.
It's all up on, it's up on 8 or 10 concrete pilings that run the length of each side of the house with a steel beam going across. That's probably about 1.5 feet by 10 inches wide. So it's up. It's up pretty secure.
So it's considered all right now.
The lowest, I have an elevation certificate. The top of the living space floor is at 14 compared to the base floor, which is at 8. So it's 6 feet above the base floor. And with the flood vents in the garage, it's technically according to my flood insurance. Okay.
Make no forms.
Okay. Great. I tried to discuss flat roofs, but this is right behind the office building in R3 zone, so it's not, you know, I don't think it's out of character.
No.
Rest of the neighborhood, height wise, similar.
Right.
The rest of your neighborhood, height wise?
Yes. We got two new houses that are across the street that are all pretty close to the miles, maxed out elevation. They both have peaked roofs with kind of alcove type decks up top. Someone slightly in your neighbor side. Neighbor to the east is still on two stories, so that actually has to come up. That one's a little bit higher than mine because that one is raised. It's on like a 5 or 6 foot base. So that, but eventually that house.
Yeah. Your existing first floor is going to remain as is. So basically, what you're doing here is adding a master bedroom on the second floor and an outdoor deck. And then a roof deck, I guess. And then the spiral stair. You're adding a bedroom.
Pretty much, yes. We are adding a small, what they call a plenum area between the second and third floor, the conditioning floor, which is just basically like a 5 foot storage area. Just gets up off the garage.
And that's in between the first floor and the second floor.
Correct.
What was the attic?
That's in there.
Is this your house you're living in?
You had a picture. Sorry?
You had a picture or something up there.
Yeah, attic?
It's
like a cathedral configuration.
Oh, is that what it is?
And then in the rear, it's a very low pitch, which is 3 on 12. Mm-hmm. So it's not much of an attic.
So you'll create a great new space.
Yeah, for storage, you know, to have a safe storage area.
Well, that's going to be bad.
Yes, that's
a Kevin, you parked 2 cars in your garage? Almost.
It all depends on how much.
If he hasn't scored.
It depends on how I finish the room.
I'm going to just.
So you have your own little street.
I currently have 2 vehicles on my motorcycle.
I'm going to just mark because you submitted them as A3. These photographs, does everybody have them? That was in the packet.
Yeah.
Those are two families?
It used to be downstairs, used to be not two family, but it was about two incidents. Downstairs was another unit that's taken out since then.
So this is now a one family.
It's a one family home. I still have 2 electric meters, one for the upstairs, one for the downstairs. And there's 2 gas meters on the house, but they're not.
You'll stick that you're abandoning all two family use?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have no problem with it. Anybody have questions? We'll open to the public. Anyone in the public have a question about the testimony or statement on this application? Yes, sir. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Andrew DeFranco, DIFRANCO. I live on 8 Church Street.
I'm going to swear you because you solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give is the truth, all truth, and nothing but the truth. Did you say 8 Church?
Church Street.
Thank you.
So that's the property directly to the north of 9U Street. So I've got my property survey, which was in 2007. So we've got to allow it.
Sure. I'm going to call it DF for different one.
So okay. But I reviewed the building plans. I don't want to impede progress.
Andrew, can I just ask you, you've given me kind of a partial survey. You probably have the original. Do you know who prepared it?
Sending a survey.
Okay.
And it was in 2007. When we purchased the house.
Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So I've reviewed the golden plan as I've had a conversation with the zoning officer. I have to object to the variance to be requested.
Does everybody want to look at? I don't know if you brought.
Sorry, I don't have. This is the first time I've ever had a copy. So my property survey shows that 9U Street is actually straddling 8 Church Street and 6 Church Street, my neighbor, Mike Manella. So it's essentially not within the property line. It's crossing the property line according to my survey. Not by much. I think it's like 0.4 feet or something like that. It shows that in the survey. So my concern is if someone's framing this construction, the worker gets injured. I don't have construction insurance on my property, so I could be held liable. My title insurance does not cover anything, anything related to non-U Street. So there's a legal liability for me in the event that someone gets hurt while construction is taking place on this property. The other thing that concerns me is, you know, due to the extremities of the variances being requested, I think there's just going to be significant loss of light since the property is just to the south and it's sitting over my property line. Resale value, whilst desirability grew a significant building in my backyard. Even the zoning officer who flagged the variances as intense if you review the zoning application. So being pretty extreme. So the other concern I have is the western facing side of 9U Street is significantly So to me, it appears that there's some kind of structural issue with the building. I don't have another picture of it, but if you look at it, it's pretty evident.
Look at that.
Entire exterior wall of the home is bowed inward. So it means there's some issues with the floor and the frame of the home. So I think adding two stories on this home is going to require some extra engineering.
Are you referring to which
thing? The western facing side from the house is bowed.
Looking at the house, that would be the left side?
If I'm looking at the house from.
On New Street.
Oh, on New Street, yeah.
And then the east side.
The east side.
The west side would be facing.
Facing the ocean.
Well.
So it's facing.
Now look at the left.
Yes.
Well, that's right, this is a side. You said it's only adding one floor to it, too.
It's 16 feet, right, whatever, you know, 16 feet is, I think, 16 feet.
That includes the.
Okay.
Right?
Yes. We're basically adding a 1 8-foot story and then 4-foot final space. So 12 feet, and then adding the railing. The existing building on the chart is to the ridge of the.
When the second floor stepped in, you're not. The second floor stepped in from the footprint of the building now.
No, that's right, on the.
3-foot-1 in the back, 3-foot-5 on the.
Exactly, on the west side, getting in the rear, at least 3 feet. Because of the, you know, the angle of the property, it's actually more than, quite a bit more than, are you aware of that?
That floor that he's adding, it's actually stepped 3 feet in away from the edge of the building.
I do realize that.
Okay, so it's not a straight wall.
I realize that.
Okay.
I still don't understand.
I understand, and I still feel that there's one.
No, I just don't feel that it's gonna be just a straight wall. Regardless, the property is over the property line, and I feel that there's a liability there. So there's.
Do you have that survey then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, send it over the other side, so.
I have the survey that was done for 9 New Street.
Good.
If you have it, it's on the site.
Well, I'm not sure.
Now, that's a site plan. This is the actual original survey by the surveyor, so.
Okay, good.
That's more.
Mark as A4.
So. You're showing it in your property.
The surveyor is showing it in the property, right. The survey, so his surveyor showing it in the property, and my surveyor showed it over the property.
When you bought your house and got your title insurance, was there an exception for that?
It was an exception.
As you know, I've done quite a bit of building downtown. There's discrepancies on every single lot. And I haven't touched the property in Seabright that didn't have a discrepancy of inches here and there. It seems that a lot of the benchmarks that were originally used for surveying in this town are really sandy, and there's things going on over it. I don't know what the answer is.
No, this board isn't going to bother.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we need to assume that, that this application is on his own property, and that if it's not, that's a dispute that. That's going to be between you.
And he can't, this board cannot grant permission to someone to build on your property. So if it happens to be on the property, that's something you have to deal with outside of this board, but this board can't decide property. We have to assume that all we can do is say, if we do approve the application, that is that we're approving what he legally can do.
Correct.
We can make a note, assuming we approve the application, we can make a note in the resolution that we are making no decision as to property.
Right.
That's just one of my points I've expressed to others.
All right, well, we're just trying to take each step by time.
Consideration.
No, and I just said, if the applicant was here to build a house property line, that wouldn't get a warm reception. This is existing. It's existing.
Yeah.
Yep. So it's been there for a long time. Can't change that. And as I said, if you own that, we could certainly do something about it, but not before it's already there.
Could I take a look at the other side?
Yes.
So I, my neighbor, right now, is 6th Church Street, Grand Oliver Street.
There's such thing, but just present whatever you would, anyway.
Okay,
not what he would want, but.
I can, I'm just going to read exactly what he gave me. He wasn't able to defend the city.
If you're going to read a thing that says, I, Mike Pennell, I want to do this, you can't do that. But you can make whatever point you would make.
Okay, I can really express that.
There you go. That's way to do it.
So the primary objection is related to the proposed building height, 37.1. Significant increase of height to the structure located to my southwest addresses the impact on natural light that I receive on my property, thus adversely altering the quality of life and influence the value of my property. You also mentioned exterior wall of the Pine Street called outwards, which is evidence of structural weakness, which could inhibit the proposed expansion.
Just on that point, I mean, again, the board doesn't get involved in structural integrity, but he would have to prove that to the building department. And yeah, obviously, hopefully, Mr. Teichman's, you know, got his license on the line there, so he's not going to do that.
I saw the following, and, you know, we have some ideas about how that happened. But when we do the renovation work, we're going to be opening up a lot of walls, and the structural matters will be addressed.
Okay. And I just, and you have a good point about, and you're talking about the 37, I forget what it was, on the height. And height under our ordinance is measured not to the top of that railing. That railing, have you seen the plans? Did you?
Yes.
Okay. So that railing is, you're correct, at that 37, whatever it was. The height of the building itself, I think under our ordinance, as per Mr. Teichman's testimony, is 34 feet 10 inches.
The proposed height is 34 feet 10 inches, right, versus a maximum permitted 38 feet.
Yeah.
So Mr. Pennell is just basically saying.
No, you're just saying. You are.
Rejecting.
You're saying.
You're projecting.
Yeah, you're saying that, right? You're saying.
I'm saying it.
Yep. No.
No.
He has to be here.
Mr. D. Granite. No. He can't
he's
do
not
it.
Here, so he can't. So we can't ask him questions. We can't ask questions to him.
Unfortunately, he wasn't able to attend.
Right. But however, you're a neighbor, and you probably have the same concerns, which you can express.
Okay. So they're essentially the same as mine.
Perfect. That's right. Yep.
Thank you. Anyone else in the public have a question about the testimony or statement?
Can I just ask Mr. DeFranco, do you know what side of your house, just out of curiosity, if you know?
No.
You know, that's fine. Yeah. No, I wouldn't know the height of mine either. No, I wouldn't know the height of mine either. I just let you know.
Is your house presently out of the flood level?
Yes.
So you've raised yours already?
Can I also say that when we did design the addition, the purpose was to take into account the neighbors behind us and to the left to bring the house in to stay away from the property line, to come to actually get a little bit more in those variances that we had, because we weren't allowed to put windows and stuff like that, and we would say without coming in that, so we did that with express thought to our neighbors behind us.
Mr. Teichman, just you indicated, so that new story that they're adding is it, what's the indentation, so to speak?
How much is it set back from the face of the existing?
Correct.
Okay, so on the west side, it's parallel with the existing face, set back 3 feet. So the existing house is set back from the property line, according to our survey, 0.5 feet.
So the addition on that side is 3.5 feet?
That's correct.
Okay.
In the rear,
property line is not perpendicular to the side lot, but we're keeping the addition square. So at its least, the addition is set back 3 feet. And then it increases as you go across the rear portion. So at a minimum, it's set back 3 feet. The existing house is set back 0.1 feet from the property line. So at a minimum, it's set back 3.1 feet.
Okay. The addition.
The addition.
Explain this plan that you're talking about. This is between the floors, now you say?
That's correct.
How do you access that?
If you look on the floor plan, the second floor plan is still landing, like in the middle part of the stairs. And that would be the level of the plenum. And so it would just be a hatch. Main purpose is for air conditioning, duct work, and then also some storage.
What is the height of the plenum then?
Approximately 3.5 to 4 feet.
How tall is your garage?
Garage height is 9.5.
So what are you going to do with that? I mean, how are you? It's 3.5 feet.
And then I can't like a mini floor between them.
You're basically going to be like a crawl space in between the floors.
So I'm short. That would be a struggle for me.
It's going to be, to be honest with you, where the floor kind of comes up, we're actually going up, I think it was 5 feet original ceiling height.
That's correct.
So 5 feet of the original roof height, feet of the roof, which now I think is a little under 22 feet. What that gives us though is in my living room area has a peak roof. So that peak roof is actually where the plenum will start. It's actually 4 feet higher than there. So when we put that extra 5 feet on, we call it raft work, and we'll have about 5.5 to 6 feet in there between floors. But it'll be open, so there's not going to be any walls. It's just going to be basically an open crawl space.
But again, the idea of this was that, you know, there's really no safe place for storage that's, you know, not under the possible threat of flood. So the idea was to have some storage area in the house that was safe.
This is in lieu of doing an attic instead.
Exactly. In a sense, it's an attic in the middle of the house rather than on top of the house.
It was an ideal thought process that we came up with to actually get us some storage while not needing an attic per se. So, not having access
to the roof deck inspector.
Right.
But the floor of that crawl space will be the actual shingles in the existing one?
No. The entire roof line that's currently there will be moved. And it will be brought to flattened out and then brought up.
You set different numbers, 4, 4.5, 5 foot.
We're not going to see the 34 feet.
We got 34 feet, so it's once we start to. It's going to be 34 feet down, it's going to be 8 foot for the extra addition. And then that extra space from there to the current roof line.
The materials used for the addition are all going to be consistent with what you're doing.
That's correct.
So it looks like it's one place rather than a place with another place called it.
Right, okay. The siding may be replaced completely.
But it would be replaced in totality. It would not be replaced in total, right? Can that be a condition?
Yep.
And what about your air conditioning? Where are your current? Do you have air conditioning in the house?
No, not currently. We haven't decided whether or not we put it in or where. If we do put it in, most likely it's going to go in the plenum area and be on the outside or on the west side or somewhere like that. We may put that on the rooftop deck.
How do you spell it?
He has it on his plan. P-L-E-N-U-M. I never even heard of it.
I've never heard of it either.
They use that for retirement.
Oh, that's right. I've heard of it in that context. Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's a return.
Like the return. Okay, now I get it.
It's the space in between a ceiling and a floor.
It's like a return, right. Okay, now I get it.
There's basically some critical fire requirements in that. We'll address all of them.
Can we say that the mechanicals will be either in the plenum or on the rooftop deck?
Yes. Probably end up having to put fire snapping through the AP and have a continuous opening in between the floors. I mean, that's your part.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll have to come up with something. You might have to put the walls in there with fire doors or something.
I mean, I imagine it would be similar than that for an attic or a crawl space. The fact that it's in between floors, I don't know that it's necessarily kick in
sprinklers, doubles, start 5-8 sheet rock things.
But whatever the building is in picture is not
whole. They'll have to be all.
Yeah, that's nothing.
It's to be used strictly for storage, nothing else?
Storage and ductwork distribution for air conditioning.
Yes, sir. Please state your name for the record.
Guy Valensky, Church Street.
Guy, solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give. It's the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And can you spell that last name for me?
U-E-L-I-N-S-K-Y.
Thank you. And what number Church Street are you restored? I'm sorry for that. Thank you. Guy.
We got gutters on the water out to New Street on the back of the house.
Good question.
I suspect the gutter configuration would be along the two sides of the house, similar to how it is now, since right now it's a gable roof. We have gutters running towards the front of the house, so the runoff on the back foot on an angle will be the yard of the house.
Yeah.
We definitely have to look at that. All water has to go to the street. Yeah, we could certainly work out a gutter configuration where, you know, gutter would pick up the rear portion and bring it to the front.
We could certainly go so far as keeping it in the rear instead of going it away from the house, keeping it in the rear to go to the sides. And then,
yeah, because we have a problem with water
pool. Can we
make impervious coverage like this?
Can we make it a condition that the gutter is the water flow has to flow in front of the property?
You'll agree to that?
Yes.
Okay.
That's a requirement now
under
our
rating.
Well, good.
Yeah, I already heard the email.
Yeah, so essentially we could keep the same gable that we don't currently have now in the rear of the house and then just kind of pitch it out to the sides.
We could do that.
However, you do, we're going to say that all gutters and runoff will run to the front.
Thank you. Anyone else in the public have a question about the testimony or the statement?
I have one more question.
Yes, sir. Again,
for the record, it's Mr. DeFranco.
As far as access, walk instruction in place, how's that going to work? Do you need access to street property?
Yes. You can't access the property without a picture.
Right. Period. I'm just saying there's construction that's going to be happening. It needs to be some kind of, you know, being in between. Access the bleachers surrounding us.
That's our thing for what he's constructing. That's nothing to do with us.
Okay. Yeah. Chances are, I will stay right in the chances on that. We're looking at probably about a year and a half before I get them to actually do it. I need to get approval now so I can get the plans drawn up fully and then bring them to somebody to get estimates on it. And it's at that point that I think my diligence and very control are probably kicking. Elevates over the third thing. Probably, yeah.
If there's no one else in the public cares to be heard,
helps anybody. It's not a plenum. It's an interstitial space. Plenum moves out.
Oh, I like that.
Not necessarily.
Spelling.
I can spell that.
Yeah. I'm not calling it interstitial space.
I like it.
Just so there isn't any problem.
I think you're right on this. I like that.
Anyone else? Not the public portion is now closed. Do you have any further testimony? Any discussion from the board?
I think it's a new house. People are putting a lot of work into those houses along the entire way. It's just been more and more. It's to be a welcome addition to that neighborhood, in my opinion. I understand the survey issues, but that's something that's beyond our control. And at the end of the day, if it's on Mr. Franco's property, then he can't build it. So, but that's between the neighbor and Mr. Birdsall, it's not our purview. So I think it's an improvement that helps divide us pulse, and I will move the application.
With the
conditions that we talked about,
which is the materials will be consistent throughout the entire structure. Mechanicals will either be in the interstitial space or the roofing deck, and all gutters and runoff will go to the front, to New Street.
Yes.
Right.
Well, I agree that the downtown area is moving forward. It's looking much, much better. It's a shame it was a result of Sandy, but this is the good part that's coming out. So I'll second that.
Here's a roll call.
Cashmore?
Yes.
Chairman Cunningham?
Yes.
Vice Chairman DeCia?
Yes.
Councilman Lexstein?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Duffy?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Where are we? Where is it? That's the old fisherman's house, but oh, yeah. There's a new buyer.
Exactly. 8 New Street application, Richard Perrin.
3 Church Street.
3 Church Street. Yes, 3 East Church.
My name is Mark Follander. I'm an attorney from Jackson Sack, and I represent the applicant, Richard Perrin. I've been presenting here tonight, Robert Krause, who's an architect and planner. This is similar to the other application in that we want to propose a new house to build an existing main foundation. The distinction is we will be raising the house above the foundation and building brand new, so there's no structural issues from an older home.
I just have jurisdictional
characters. Yep, hang on 1 second. Just trying to pull it all up. Can you guys let him introduce himself before I got there? Yes, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Only because I know that the use is permitted in the zoning to be too. I know Mary did not sign up for that. I just don't want to be involved if you can do the problem.
I'm so concerned. Okay, it's residential, but existing.
Yeah, but right now, yes. But we have to zone it. Okay. But it's in the B1. It's a single family home, right?
Correct. Yeah, I think that's.
Do you know what's great about use variance?
It still has a
single family home property in the B1 zone. So I just want to make sure that I don't have that I.
Right.
I know Mary did not sign that.
Right.
It's a problem. We're changing the ordinance for that, so that's hopefully so that it will be. But right now, they're not permitted. It's still. Should I just... No,
we're not. Not there yet.
Let me just sit down.
We have enough people.
Yeah, I think actually it is a, I'm not sure you noticed for it either. Permitted primary, R3, permitted primary uses, residential uses in multi-story buildings located above permitted uses. Okay. Wow. Single family residential is not a permitted use in B1 zone.
Okay. I didn't
well, no. If he needs use variance, he's got it. You don't want to have improper notice on this.
And there's always somebody that appeals around this day.
Right. We don't want to. Okay, let me just look at this. Cool, with respect. Okay. We'll demolish and rebuild a 3-story house with roof deck. With these variances. Yeah, that's... That is a problem. And you've got bulk variances listed, but...
Well, Mary didn't cite.
I know she didn't cite but...
It's not the opposite's fault.
It's not your fault, but I still think it's a D variance.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know... We're kind of liberal and it just gives the basic explanation of what you're doing. But I think you have to notice when it's a D variance. I mean, that's always been mine. I mean, it's your, you want to proceed at your own risk, but I mean, it's jurisdictional, so I think it's a problem. And I'm sorry I didn't look at it. It's up to, you know, I mean, take a look at your notice. I'm just looking at it.
This is the one right on the seawall.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't have the file on this before today, so before I got here. I hate to do that anyway, but I don't want you to proceed.
Probably
yeah, I mean, it's not their fault because it wasn't cited as a variance, as a required variance.
Yeah, I don't think the existing residents. And it's,
but you're demolishing, right?
No, the foundation level, the garage level, everything's the same. If it's an existing non-conforming use, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Yes, it does. That's the pure definition of B2, the extent of the non-conforming use.
Yeah.
That's the easy too.
When that use was conforming, when it was built.
Correct.
That's what.
It's just an expansion of a non-conforming use.
It's a B2.
That's a B2.
Yeah, non-conforming use is a D, and if you're expanding it, that's still a D.
Yeah.
It's a D2.
Yeah, that's your non-conforming use.
Which is a, you know, Burbridge, maybe, I mean, a Coventry Square argument, but. But it's still, I mean, it's still D variance. And it is not, as I said, I haven't even pulled it up here. It's not cited by the zoning officer, but unless we're wrong, then it's not in the B1, but it is in the B1.